Well, a very pleasant Saturday afternoon, everyone. 3:10 here on WGN. Boy, I hope you're having a great weekend. I hope you're enjoying the sunshine, getting some time to relax. And let's learn a few things along the way, too. This is Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. A couple guests we got coming up a little bit later. We're going to be talking to John McGing, you heard there. Excuse me, James McGing and Michael Miller. And all the things that we don't know about our own auto insurance policy. Feel free to go run to your glove box and take a look and see if you can find yours. And let's find out if you're as covered as you think you are. And I am going to be the first in line to figure that out. A little bit later in the show, we'll talk to Ray Kaplan as well. She's got they got some incredible examples of ways that she has saved so many people money on their student loans and how to structure it correctly. Got some great examples here today. We'll talk with Ray in a little bit. And also, Laura Nierreiter is going to join us. Illinois becoming the first state to officially sign off on interrogation techniques with kids under 18. Detectives no longer allowed to lie to them. And this was a bipartisan bill that passed through the House and the Senate here in Illinois and signed by Governor Pritzker. We're going to break down a little bit about what that means and why she thinks. She works over at Northwestern Law School as part of the wrongful convictions part of that school, and she's going to talk a little bit about why that's great here. But our first guest today is attorney John Heggie from Walkner Law Firm. John, a pleasure to talk with you.
You as well. Thank you for having me.
So you primarily do estate planning, and it's you and your wife running the law firm together.
That's right. So my wife, Corinne, and I are law partners and obviously married, so we work and live together, which brings its own challenges and, yeah. and wonderful opportunities as well. So Corinne grew up in Glenview and knew Jim Walkner's children, grew up roughly all the same age. And then when Jim was looking to retire, she and I came on board, and we've really enjoyed it.
I imagine having the roots in the community has helped you guys, and not only obviously have clients that you work with, but a lot of trust there between you and the folks that you work with.
Well, we like to think so. We're trustworthy people. We're your attorneys. So, we trade in matters of being truthful and honest with all. So, and having a broad background of the Chicago area, and I've been here myself since the early 90s, it does help. And we meet a lot of people. We meet a lot of people through our kids' sports, through the church, volunteer opportunities. Corinne's very involved with a lot of women's issues. So it's helpful.
Imagine also with estate planning or any field of law, each state has their own unique little laws and rules and regulations. Having someone with a breadth of knowledge of those specifically can help someone plan their estate.
Oh, right. So that is kind of an oddity still that the states are so different. The overall structures of trusts and wills, those concepts are the same everywhere. But how they come into play in each state is a little different. In Illinois, for instance, and most of the eastern states, these things have to be written. You might have seen things on TV about having a video will or something like that. Well, those aren't applicable in Illinois, but in other states they might work.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's important to hire a local attorney who obviously is knowledgeable of the local laws.
No TikTok video will here in Illinois?
not yet. I guess, maybe we'll see later.
Yeah, exactly. Let's start first with a very broad question. This is kind of me asking, I imagine a lot of listeners too. When should someone start planning for estate planning? Like, what age is it? Is it when you have kids? Is it when the moment you're out of college? Like, talk us through when someone should start to consider that.
Well, in general, I think a good rule of thumb might be 10 years ago. And the yeah. second best time to start planning is tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's at different stages in life, there's different concerns. Obviously, when you, first have children, you've got to get something in place. If for nothing else, it designate where the children would go should you and your spouse both pass away unexpectedly. And it is unexpectedly. But it's important to have a plan because once it's too late, it's too late.
Right.
And then that's also probably the best time to get serious about setting up an estate plan as well with a trust. A lot of young people don't want to do that. It's a little bit further down the line. It's understandable,
mm-hmm.
but you've got to at least protect your kids and have that set up, as well as protecting your spouse to make sure your spouse is the beneficiary of your things and it doesn't, or if you're not married, the person you're with is the beneficiary and it doesn't go somewhere else. So having a plan is key. And as you get older, you know, it becomes more and more important. Mm-hmm. So there isn't really like a check in at 25 and 65. You need to check in often on that.
I think a lot of people, especially when they're young, they obviously think, and for the most part, they're right. Nothing bad is going to happen to me, and God willing, nothing will. I think as you get later and later, you start to become overly concerned and almost worried. It's like going to the dentist or the doctor. If you haven't gone for a while, you start to feel guilty about it. Like, oh, I missed something. Do you think that's what a lot of people have hesitancy for talking to you about?
I think a lot of people put it off for various reasons, but that's certainly part of it. But, you know, we're in the business of helping people. That's why Quinn and I do this. Mm-hmm. We want to help people make sure they don't have problems later. So I would never be embarrassed or feel guilty about not doing it. It's important that you just come in and get it done. And I think when people do, generally they feel better.
Yeah.
And that's very rewarding for us, you know, to help people.
So even if someone hasn't done much of anything, I mean, I really feel like people want to feel like they are not going to be judged when they walk in the door. You guys are happy to help anyone in any state.
Any state in terms of mental state not a state of Illinois, but
right, yes.
Yeah. So, of course, you know, that's our job. Everything is confidential. Everything is between the client and ourselves. We have seen it all, I think, for the most part. So I would never feel that someone's situation, that they should be ashamed or embarrassed about coming in.
For sure. All right. More with John Heggie from Walkner Law Firm in just a little bit. WalknerLawFirm.com. That's WOCHNER LawFirm.com. More with John after this on Let's Get Legal here on WGN. This is Let's Get Legal. It's 3:20 here on the Saturday afternoon. John Hansen here, joined by attorney John Heggie from Walkner Law Firm. We've been talking about estate planning. And John, I think that there might be a lot of people out there that say, I don't have an estate. Right? This estate sounds like this grand term.
Sure, sure.
Oh, I have many acres up somewhere.
Right.
No, everyone's got an estate, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's something that we'd really like to get across to people. Like, yeah, you're right. You don't have to live in the English countryside and have a title to have an estate. Everyone does, you know, whether if you own any real estate and you need an estate plan. Because if we don't have an estate plan and you've got assets that total over $100,000, now that's gross.
Mm-hmm.
So if you own a home, even if you've got a huge mortgage on it, it's still an estate over $100,000. That has to go to probate. Unless you create an estate plan that helps you avoid probate.
And what is probate for those that are listening?
So probate is a legal process. In essence, you know, we've all heard about the terrible probate cases that happen where, you know, somebody famous passed and they had 18 wills or no wills or whatever might have happened. But in reality, it's most of the time it follows a very set of rules that the judge will enforce and say where your things go. So basically, it's giving legal title to other people of someone who has passed away of their things. It's also the time where creditors make claims on the estate. So, you know, we were talking about real estate a moment ago. So if someone owned a house and maybe they had a little bit of equity in it,
mm-hmm.
but as they got older, they had to utilize some state services, maybe they had some credit card debt or something like that. Well, as soon as they pass away, that house doesn't automatically go to their children,
right,
or their spouse, it would go to their spouse, but it doesn't go to their children,
mm-hmm.
because the creditors are going to come in and they're going to want that equity. So, you know, that's even on a low end of someone's net worth, what they need to be concerned with, which is a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
They need to have plans. Then there's all kinds of tools that we can help to avoid to make sure that that asset, that house or real estate would pass to where they would want it to go. And then, of course, on the other end of that, you know, someone who's just been working their whole life, they're heading into retirement, they're starting to see like, oh, you know, we've got a little more than we thought, or we have more than we thought we would at this point. You know, that's very important to protect that. You know, the taxation issue in Illinois is real. The federal limit is very high. The tax limit in Illinois is lower, but it still exists. So with planning, you can avoid taxes for the most part. Whether you're on the high end or the low end, mm-hmm. of the spectrum, you've got to make a plan, and that's what we can help you with.
When you mention the taxes, it's not a matter of you're not trying to finagle anything. You're just using the laws that exist and educating people and putting places where they need to be, whereas if you just kind of leave it to probate or chances, it's going to go – you're going to miss out on those opportunities.
You know, that's – John, you're absolutely right. There is a system in place, a legal system in place to avoid these bad things, whether it be taxes, whether it be losing assets to creditors, whether it be having children fighting, having cousins fighting, you know, having all sorts of different opinions. This system exists. Our justice isn't perfect, but we've got a pretty good start on things. So we can set up a plan to help. To help people avoid any of those problems.
That's great. There's obviously a lot of perils for not planning. You kind of touched on one, and I always hate bringing it up because we love to think that we love all of our siblings and that everything is peaceful. But the reality of the situation is families are complicated. There's, even if it's not huge disagreements, there's disagreements that come across when dealing with the loss of loved ones or trying to figure out with an estate. Planning ahead of time, getting everything down on paper, I think is not only a good thing just for peace of mind, but it can also be a peace of family sort of thing. Like, hey, this is out of your control.
Right.
This is what we've done ahead of time.
Yeah, very much so. So, you know, someone passes away, their family is grieving, they've got to clean up this legal mess, and they might have disagreements about what, you know, grandpa wanted or didn't want. And, you know, those might be, you know, those are each other's truths. You know, they're not necessarily malicious.
Right.
But it's just that without a plan spelling it out, it's up to interpretation. And, you know, the old line, you know, it's not about the money. Well, sometimes it's not. You know, people really are, get feelings hurt. And whereas if you spell it out ahead of time, it makes things much, much smoother.
Right. And I think a lot of families are sitting there listening and saying, well, we're not like the Jerry Springer show. We're going to be fine when this moment comes. But you mentioned there's emotional attachment to things. There's emotional attachments, and maybe there was not a consideration for that. So when someone goes to you to start planning their estate, let's say they've gotten to that step, they know they need to do this, what does it involve? Does it involve do you have a conversation with them saying, lay out everything that you have, you think you have, or you might end up having, and let's talk through it?
Right, absolutely. So, you know, we have a free consultation because we need to know everything about their situation, and then what their goals are, and then we have discussion and set up on a plan, and then we're able to give them a rate for that. Generally, it's a fixed fee.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on what kind of plan that they have, but yeah, we wouldn't want to ever put any obstacles to someone calling or coming in to have a conversation. You know, here's my concerns. What should I be concerned about? Here's what I have. Here's what I want to have. Here's, those types of conversations are key to forming a good plan.
I imagine you have, obviously it's all confidential, but you have probably examples of people that maybe there were things that we didn't realize needed to be litigated or planned for ahead of time that can really cause some peril if it isn't thought about ahead of time.
Right. And everything is, of course, confidential, like you said, but it's clear to say real estate is a big tripwire. People think that they have things covered because they maybe put it in a land trust in the 90s or something like that. Real estate drives probate a lot. So as do other assets, banking accounts where you didn't title it or name a beneficiary, savings accounts, anything like that. So that's why it's important to have a sit down and really think about what's there.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask also, like, if you're in your 30s and you say, well, I don't want to plan right now because I'm going to have to just come back every 5 years and write a whole new and start this process from scratch. Are you able to work with someone and say, hey, look, okay, we've got your plan now. We'll make addendums. I don't even know what you would call it, to change it as it goes. This isn't a restart the whole process every 5 years.
Correct. Yeah. So that's the beauty of it. You know, whether you go a trust or a will, you can change the rules whenever you want, and you don't have to change the whole thing. Particularly with a trust, once a trust exists, we don't ever change the name of that trust. So once you create a trust and you open up your accounts in that trust name, you don't have to start the process over in 5 years and go back and do all of that work again. It's just a one-time thing.
I love hosting this show because I get to ask really dumb questions. Can you tell us what the difference is between a will and a trust?
Certainly. So a will is, like a plan on where you want your things to go. It still requires probate in Illinois under most circumstances. And the judge will look at that will and, unless someone challenges the will or, someone was not in the right mental state when they wrote it, the judge will 99.9% of the time follow the wishes of the deceased. But it still requires probate, which is a little bit of an expensive process. It takes at least 6 months. Versus if you have a trust and your trust owns your things, you're the beneficiary of the trust, you're the trustee of the trust, so you get the benefits and you say how things are done. So it really doesn't change your day-to-day, but you don't technically own it. So when you pass away, the trust has a set of rules as to where those assets go. And then the court isn't involved because you as a person didn't own assets in excess of $100,000. Your trust did.
It sounds like trusts are more what I would want to go with. But are there disadvantages to trust too? I mean, I imagine it's a choice between the two of those.
Well, it's, you know, obviously case by case.
Right.
But yes, trusts are much, much better than a will in most cases.
Mm-hmm. And powers of attorney, is that a whole separate plan or?
No, that's part of an estate plan overall.
Okay.
And you got to have it. You got to have a healthcare power of attorney, someone who can make decisions for you when you can't, and if there's a health emergency, and a property power of attorney, someone who can make decisions and do things for you and involving financial institutions when either you don't want to, or, you know, perhaps you're incapacitated, or you know, or you're just tired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. That happens sometimes too.
For sure. There's a lot of consideration. We only got about a minute left. Right. I just want to make sure that, you know, again, we talked about this a little bit ago. When you hear estate, you think, oh, you must own all this sort of stuff to even approach a lawyer like you. No, I mean, you probably have clients running the gamut of someone that has just a few things, a home, which is great, or has many things. And there's no discrimination between who is better at planning than others. You probably deal with all sorts of clients.
Right. So yeah, we run the spectrum, and unfortunately, the legal system doesn't discern either.
Right.
And so generally, if you have a smaller estate and you don't have a plan, you're going to pay more of a price in terms of emotion and actual cost than if you have a larger estate.
That's right.
So it's important to plan.
Yeah, for sure. John, this has been eye-opening. Thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed it.
John Heggie from the Walker Law Firm. You can head to walkerlawfirm.com. Talk to John and his wife. That's wonderful,
right?
Is that? A husband and wife. How rare is that in your line of work? A husband and wife law firm.
Well, I don't particularly know any others, but I pretty much just stick to my own law firm.
So. You do your own thing. You got enough to worry about. Thanks, John. We appreciate
it. Thank you, John.